Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is entitled The Finder, and the text is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. I want to read to you again the passage from this gospel text, verses 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. That is your story. That is my story. And God wants that to be the story of all people. Each and every one of us, in our sins, was lost. And in death and trespasses, we were away from God. Ephesians 2 says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And we know from Romans 3 very well, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so it's appropriate that in this parable, Jesus views us, his creation, as sheep. Dead in trespasses and sins, we are truly dead, or dumb as can be. So wandering away from the flock is a very easy thing for us as sheep to do. And we have no hope in ourselves of finding the way back to God. But a good shepherd does not give up on his sheep. The shepherd who takes his job seriously and cares truly for the sheep will search high and low for that lost sheep, because he does care truly for the sheep, and he even has a name for the sheep and knows that sheep by the name. That is the way it is with Jesus. He knows each and every one of us here today and all throughout the world by name. You are so precious to him, valuable to him, so much so that he would give himself up for you. He knows that you and I are helpless to save ourselves when we are lost in our trespasses and sin, and so that's why he goes out on the search for us. And he has searched for us, and he has found us, hence your presence here this morning. And you've probably heard at some point in your life a Christian say to you, "Well, I found Jesus when I was in college," or, "After a very difficult time in my life, I found the Lord." But was Jesus really ever lost? The answer is no, he was not. You and I were lost. And you did not find Jesus. He found you. He graciously searched for us. The Bible even tells us that Jesus chose us. We did not choose him. And that really is quite amazing when we stop to think about it. That out of his great love and compassion for us, Jesus found us when we were lost. We justly deserved his temporal, his present, and eternal punishment. He needed to do nothing. And yet he chose to do everything for us. "Love that found me, wondrous thought," the hymn "Chief of Sinners Though I Be" says, "found me when I sought him not." Even keeping the law and fulfilling all of God's commands in this life is not enough. Jesus, the true shepherd, as our theme for the day says, Jesus had to find us. He had to find us. He had to save us. And indeed, he did. And when Jesus found you, when he claimed you to be his own in that water of baptism, you can bet that there was great rejoicing in the heavenly kingdom. When Christ found you and made you his own, placed his name upon you, there was a great roar of joy in the heavenly kingdom from the angels themselves that you were claimed to be God's own. What a humbling feeling that is, but what an awesome feeling that is to know how valuable you are to God and to his kingdom. And so it's so exciting for us to know that God and all of heaven are overjoyed when a sinner is brought back into the fold, when Christ makes Christians from his word, when he finds his lost sheep. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, as I look out at the congregation this morning, I look at my own self, I see that there are quite a few of us sinners here this morning that have been washed clean in the waters of baptism. Recognizing that sin and our need for our Savior, we make it a point to come back to this place week in and week out to lift up our praise to God for all that he has done for us. To come before God in his altar to confess that we justly do deserve his punishment, that we have sinned against him. And God is pleased when we do just that. When we come back to this place week in and week out to come before him as our God. And so what a great joy it is for us to be a part of this body, to be a part of the church, the bride of Christ. For we get the very blessing of Jesus' word put into our ears. His constant mercy is spoken to us into our very being. And our starving, sin-filled hearts cling to that very word of the gospel, so that the seed of faith that has been planted in us revitalizes and grows up strong in the faith. And by that word spoken, the word of God, God moves us to repent every day of our sinful ways, of our sinful lives, out of love for him and out of despair of our own wretched selves. And so we confess, as St. Paul did in the epistle lesson, that we are chief among sinners. There is none worse than us. Many chiefs among chiefs, I see. But chief, here I stand amongst you all. And we confess then that we are lambs who do deserve to be slaughtered before our Lord, that we do not deserve to be found, but rather deserve to fall off the precipice that we ourselves have wandered upon. Thanks be to God that he gives what we deserve to Jesus. For Jesus did take our punishment, all that was coming to us, all that we deserved, and he died with it all on the cross, shedding his holy and innocent blood for the forgiveness of us and our sins. In that central act of history, Christ hanging upon the cross, he made it possible for all of his sheep to be saved and to be found. As we gather in the name of Jesus here in this place to receive his great forgiveness, we can't forget, though, that there are still others outside of these walls that are still lost. And Jesus does want all of them to be found, to be brought back into the kingdom, into the flock. He wants all of his lost coins to be found, as we hear in the second parable. And like that woman, we too are called to use the light of the gospel, to speak the word of Christ's forgiveness to the world. And in so doing, we seek out the lost by the Spirit, just as Christ Jesus is the light of the world, and he shines in the darkness of this sinful world. And God does give us the opportunities in our daily lives to speak that gospel with others. It may not be a very obvious opportunity, but yet it is still there to make relationships with other people, to be in their lives so that they can see who Christ is in us. And so we're given the chance to share that good news of Christ, that he has sought out and saved the lost, that they too can be found by Christ. And we ourselves don't want to make the same mistake that the Pharisees made, seeing all those that Jesus associated with and say, look, he associates himself with sinners. We cannot pick and choose amongst the masses who we want to be members of our church. We can't wait for the best looking person to enter through the doors and then cling to them as the ones we want in our midst. We can't aim all of our efforts at those who have the most money, the most prestige in our community. For God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, to realize that all of them have been saved by Christ in his death upon the cross. And so we share that message of the gospel with all that we meet, regardless of age, gender, beauty, cleanliness, criminal record, and the like. This is quite a daunting task when we do think about it. All that God has called us to do, called us to be in this world, in this life. But we know that we are not alone in this quest, in this responsibility to preach the gospel, to confess Christ. For God has been merciful in this too. He has placed important people and organizations into our lives that help in the seeking and saving of the lost by proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Here, in our communities, in our country, and abroad throughout the world. One such group within our own synod is the LCMS World Relief and Human Care. They are known for using the donations of the church and God's people to bring Christ's mercy and his love to those who have been struck by disaster around the world. Lutheran Bible Translators, also a part of our synod, use donations to translate God's word into the languages of people who have never heard the gospel. We too can support these ministries by supporting this, our church, who in turn then can support those ministries as they seek out those who are lost by the word of the gospel. Now, so all of these, along with our own vocations, all of our stations in life that we encounter other people in, are opportunities for us to present the gospel of Christ to those who are lost. And that is the most important thing, to share the gospel of Christ. Because apart from faith in Jesus, those who are lost remain dead in their trespasses and sins. They remain enemies of God. They have no hope. And so by sharing the gospel, proclaiming Christ, confessing the faith given to us, hope is brought to the world, to the lost. And remember that every time that a lost person believes the gospel, there is great cause to rejoice. We as the church rejoice, for Christ's mission is indeed our mission. For we too have great cause to rejoice, for we too were once lost and have now been found by Christ. Sin, death, and the devil had won. They had captured us. They had taken us away in chains. The Lord Jesus searched us, searched for us. He became even one of us, and so took our place. He became the ultimate lost sheep of God's kingdom when he took upon himself all sin on the cross. And God did there, on the cross, forsake his only son, the ultimate lost sheep. And Jesus was condemned for us. He died with our sins. And on the third day, he did rise again. He defeated in that resurrection sin, death, and the devil. And so now we are free. And we are found in Christ. By his death and resurrection, our sins are paid for, all of them, as innumerable as they may be. and God has found us in Christ. Christ has freed us then to become his brothers and sisters, children of the same heavenly Father. And again, as the second verse of Chief of Sinners says so beautifully, oh, the height of Jesus' love, higher than the heavens above, deeper than the depths of sea, lasting as eternity. Love that found me, wondrous thought, found me when I sought him not. Jesus has found you, and all of heaven rejoices. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep you in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.